Welcome, snowbirds, to East Tennessee. Yep, this is what happens. 72 degrees one day and 3 inches of snow the next. I guess that's probably one of the reasons why I like being here. It's diversity. You don't know what to expect. Tomorrow's probably tornadoes. Let's hope not. But I tell you what, it is a fluctuating temperature environment for sure. I have a, Alexa? You know, the Amazon Google thing that you can talk to and it talks back. It's in my bathroom. It sits up on top of my medicine kind of cabinet thing there. And I say, Alexa, what's the weather going to be like today? And she tells me, oh, yeah, it's called an Echo Dot. I really like that thing because I can just say, you know, play ESPN radio and she'll play it. Or play Don't Let Me Be Lonely Tonight by James Taylor. And she'll play that. So it is a wonderful thing for you to have if you, you know, I know people that basically put them all over their house. And you can use them to turn on your TV and everything. It's all connected through your Wi-Fi. You know, if that's way over your head, I get it. I understand. You're like the lady that walked into the Longhorn Steakhouse in Morristown this past Sunday. She was right behind us, And Tara gave the lady our reservation or said, you know, gave last name. And she said, well, what is your cell phone number? And my wife gave her my cell phone number. And then we went over and sat down and waited for them to text us. Well, that little lady came in. She was an older lady. And they did the same thing, gave her a name and said, what is your cell phone number? And she says, I don't have a cell phone. And, you know, I just looked at her and I'm thinking, bless your heart, one of the holdouts. And how much more pleasant her life must be because she doesn't have a cell phone. She probably has a rotary dial still in her house, which is perfectly fine as long as it still works. But, you know, technology is really, I've always tried to stay on the, maybe not the cutting edge, but, you know, not too far behind that edge so that I can communicate intelligently the changes and things that are going on in cars. But it has gotten overwhelming. That Corvette that I bought, 2022 Vette, when I went through that presentation at delivery, I was just about half listening because it was just like she was speaking a different language. And I felt like, okay, as soon as I get home, I'm going to have to dig into this owner's manual. Because folks, if you don't, then you don't know how to work your car. You don't have to turn stuff on and off like traction control. You know, when it gets slick outside, if you don't know what some of those buttons mean on your dash, then you could push the wrong one, end up in a ditch. So if you're really not familiar with your car and you've had it for a couple years, don't be ashamed. You know, you're probably still using a flip phone. I get it. Get your own, just wait for a warm day. And go outside in the driveway, open the doors, and get your owner's manual out and just start on page one and go through, or at least go to the section that talks about the instrumentation, and it'll tell you how to work everything in your car. And you will say, I didn't know my car had a tilt steering wheel. And, you know, that happened to us one time. One of my dad's good friends came in to get her oil changed, and she left and went around the block and came immediately back, says, somebody messed up my steering wheel, look. And so the service advisor looked at that and said, and he reached in there and tilted it down so that she could, so it'd be back where she remembered. Oh, I didn't know it had that. So, you know, maybe your car has adaptive cruise control. Maybe it has the ability to turn off the traction control. You know, there's a little button on your dash that has a picture of the back end of a car and little squiggly lines on it. I bet you didn't know what that meant. Well, that's where you can turn off your traction control. You really don't want to do that unless you're planning on doing some drag racing or something like that, but I just don't think you're going to be doing that. So get familiar. And, you know, if you haven't embraced modern technology, more power to you. You probably don't have a Facebook page or Instagram. You don't worry about getting a bunch of text all the time or using your cell phone while you're driving and getting chastised for it. These are all things that you don't have to worry about. And I think you're just fine. when you buy a new car, however, and they start going through the long list of items that they're supposed to tell you about, you know, you can go ahead and tell them that you're technology challenged, and that you don't really care about anything but the essentials. And that's fine. But the car has way more stuff on it than what you really need. And unfortunately, you had to pay for all of that. But that's just where we are. You know, the technology that's on there to keep you safe, it's called passive safety equipment. That's good stuff. And that's what I recommend if you're buying a car for an elderly person or for a young teenager. And we'll talk about that here in just a minute. Before I get too far down the rabbit hole on this technology stuff for teenagers and elderly folk, I want you to always remember the old saying about buyer beware. You know, sometimes it's seller beware as well. So where this is coming from is I have a 1957 Volkswagen Beetle on an auction website right now that I'm selling. I purchased it, it was on my wife's 57th birthday. It was a 1957 Beetle, and it was in a car show parked right beside my 1966 VW bus that I was showing, and I fell in love with the car, and it was her 57th birthday, and the car was made in 57. And so I just decided to buy it and surprise her with it. Well, I've had that car all that time. And not until I posted it on the auction website did I discover that it's got a fake stamp of the VIN number on the chassis. Now, to say that that's a bad thing would be an understatement. Now, this vehicle has a title, obviously, and it has the VIN number on it. I think it's a 6-digit VIN number, maybe 7. That number matches the VIN number on the plate, which is right behind the spare tire under the hood, or if you're from England, under the bonnet. Although there's no engine there, the engine's in the back. There's a gas tank in there, though. That's how you put gas in. You have to raise the hood or the bonnet and crank off the cap and put gas in and underneath the hood. That was 1957 technology. So anyway, the VIN is on that plate. There's one other place that the VIN is, and that is someplace that I failed to look when I bought the vehicle, and that is underneath the rear seat on the tunnel that basically goes from the front of the car to the back of the car. It is the chassis, and real convenient spot right there is the same numbers, as the number on the front. Don't ever buy a Volkswagen or a Porsche or something like that unless you check the chassis number and the number on the plate, because it's possible that they're different. Now, why would they be different? It's because the pan on this vehicle has been replaced. So it's had, you know, it's got a 1957 body, but it could have a pan from a car from multiple years. It still have to be a Volkswagen Beetle, of course. But they do that because these pans rust out or they get damaged. The car's in a wreck or something like that. Now, this car is very well put together. You know, it doesn't look like it's been wrecked or anything, but it has had the pan replaced. And that VIN number is there. It's the same number that's on the front. Here's the problem. It's fake. Somebody has put in a new pan and then stamped it with their own little number stamps, you know, like a metal stamp. The problem is so recognizable, it's not even funny. If I'd have seen that, I wouldn't have bought the car to begin with. But of the 7 digits that's in the VIN, maybe it is 6 digits. Just work with me here. The third digit is supposed to be a 9. It looks like they tried to stamp it about 3 times before they got it right, and it's almost illegible. That's a problem. That's not so much a problem in the state of Tennessee, but it's a big problem if you're selling to somebody out of state and they go to get it registered. And somebody says, because it's a vintage car, they want to make sure that the car's not been stolen or salvaged or whatever. So they go out and these experts know where the VIN is. And they go into the back seat and they see that and they say, fraudulent stamp. We're not giving you tags for this car. This car may be stolen. Matter of fact, we may have to confiscate the car. Wouldn't that be exciting? So you just bought something on eBay had it shipped from New Jersey to California, and all of a sudden, it's not yours anymore. The state's taken it because it was a stolen and recovered car. So that's why this is an issue. if you're buying an old Ford Torino, or you're buying, I don't care, anything, you need to find out where the VIN is stamped, especially if it's an old car, okay? You need to find out where the VIN is stamped on that car. Like this Mustang that I have in the showroom, it's a 66 Mustang GT, no, Mustang K-Code car. I think I've talked about it on the radio show. Just unbelievable restoration. It looks like a brand, better than a brand new car. So the VIN is on a little plate on the door, and it's also stamped on the inner fender, just on the right-hand side as you're facing the car. You lift the hood, and there on the inner fender, there's a stamp there. Those numbers have to be the same. Now, there are a couple other stamps that are important. You know, sometimes the engines on these old cars were matched to the bodies. Like on a Chevrolet, for example, the VIN on the car will be stamped on the engine as well. Not all of the VIN, but most of it. On a Ford, it's not. You just have to, you know, check the month and the year that the engine number that, says that that vehicle was built. And if it's, you know, if it's like within the same month, then you know that the engine is probably original to the car. But these kind of things can really affect somebody's confidence in buying something. And that's what's happened on my auction. I mean, as soon as that was pointed out by one of the bidders, and I didn't even know it, as soon as that was pointed out, the bidding stopped on my car, and I had to put a bunch of statements and go in there and tell them what I was going to do and stuff. And we'll see. I mean, I've got one day left, and you know, I had a pretty big reserve on this car, and I was hoping to bring that money, but I don't know. It's just kind of locked in place. That's what happens, though. What would be really sad would be if somebody buys the car and none of this was known, and they put it on a truck and ship it all the way to California, and then they call me saying, hey, you sold me a car with that I can't register. Because at that point, if I'm an honorable businessman, which I am, I'm going to have to pay $2,500 to ship that thing back and reimburse him all of his expenses for doing it, because I sold him something that was misrepresented. And you don't want to get into that. So let's talk about your teenager and your elderly parent. They're driving around in a, you know, maybe a 1996 Mercury Montego. And, you know, they're not, I understand monetary situations and stuff like that, but number one, it's a rear-wheel drive car. Number two, it doesn't have any of the modern safety devices. If you were to put that person into, say, a brand-new Nissan Altima, if they're driving down the road, and all of a sudden the light turns red, but they're not paying attention, they won't slam into the car in front of them. The car will stop before it gets to them, whether they're paying any attention or not. This automatic braking is a great thing. I rear-ended somebody at a yield sign one time. I thought they had pulled out, so what did I do? I start looking down the road, make sure I can go. Next thing I know, I'm making contact with something solid, and the car in front of me had decided not to proceed. Even though it looked like, you know, they released their brake lights, they're moving forward. I say, okay, I'm good to go. So I start looking, and bingo. So I got to pay for my front end and their rear end, and stand there for an hour while the police go through all that stuff and exchanging insurance cards. Wouldn't it be a whole lot easier just to buy a car that will not run into other cars? Also, cross traffic alert. Let's talk about that a second. What is that? Well, you know, I don't know about you, but when I pull up to an intersection, the light was red. It turns green. I don't just put my foot on the accelerator and take off. I always look to the left, look to the right, look to the left again, and go forward, because I don't trust red lights because people don't respect them. A lot of people don't. They run them. You know, they're in a big race. Well, surely I can beat that. It's yellow. It's yellow. It's still yellow. It turns red, and you pull out, and then you're T-boned. A lot of people have lost their lives because of that, because of trusting a traffic light. Cross-traffic alert will do automatic braking and will give you a flashing red light on your dash to let you know that a car is approaching at a rapid speed from the left or the right. That's a lifesaver. Wouldn't you agree? You know, I'm thinking about technologies that have been there for a while, like airbags. You know, airbags today are a lot better than the airbags of even 4 or 5 years ago. Number one, they're brand new. Number two, they're not Takata airbags that can shoot fragments of metal, shrapnel, into your neck. Hopefully you've had all those recalls done, folks. If you've been getting recalls on Takata airbags and haven't done anything yet, shame on you, because you're risking your life or anybody's driving your car. But these are things that you know, recalls are important. The reason you get a recall is because it's a safety-related item. They won't send you a recall because your headliner's falling down. They'll send you a recall because you have a bolt that could break that could cause you to lose control of your steering. Now, some of them aren't that serious, and I know it's a hassle, but you need to do it. And also, before you buy any car, any used car from anybody, have them pull a warranty history report and make sure it doesn't have any outstanding recalls. You know, see if that car was a lemon. You know, a lot of people trade cars because they have a lot of problems with them. Would you agree with that? You know, you've just, as I've heard it said before, you've bought somebody else's problem. And you want to make sure that to check that warranty history because it could have been a problem car. Call the dealership that sells the make of the vehicle that you're thinking about buying, give them the VIN number, and they can tell you about the vehicle history. I don't think, you know, HIPAA laws do not apply. So it's not like, you know, calling to ask about somebody's medical condition. You know, you're calling about a car. If they say, well, I can't give you that information, you know, just say, oh, come on, I'm thinking about buying this car. I want to make sure it doesn't have any bad warranty history. Cut me some slack. Maybe they will. I think most advisors will just give it to you. But it is so important to buy a safe car for that kid. Don't go out and buy him a Jeep, a Wrangler, a Camaro, Mustang, you know, for their first car. Don't give them your vintage car for their first car. Yeah, they'll be cool, and, you know, driving to school in a 55 Chevy is going to be, you know, get them a lot of attention and everything. But it's not safe. It's not smart. There's too many crazy people out there that don't know how to drive. And if they do run into something, you know, that still has a metal dashboard in it and no collapsible steering wheel and, you know, doesn't have the latest technology, and seatbelt technology even has changed in the last 10 years dramatically. Much better material, much safer, stronger, and it has a little bit of give to it. There's a little extra loop on your seatbelt. If it's a fairly late model car, you will see an extra little loop on your seatbelt. You might have said, what's that for? That's to give that will actually release and give you a little bit of movement so that, you know, the seatbelt does not cause harm itself. These are things that these companies figure out over time. And, you know, some things don't get better with time, but some things do. And cars definitely have gotten better with time. And if you're thinking about buying a vehicle for an elderly person, for yourself, if you're old like me, or for a teenager, you know, try to buy something 2018 or newer and still under warranty. And just do the little things that I've said to do to make sure that the car is not going to be a problem car as soon as you drive it off the lot. Consider buying an extended warranty, a service contract on older cars. Buying a certified car makes sense sometimes because they extend the factory's warranty. Certified car is not guaranteed by the dealer. It's actually guaranteed by the factory, even though it's a used car. Something to consider. Okay, we'll take our last break and be back here in just a minute. Okay, so your first-time listener, you turn on the radio, or you're on iHeartRadio or one of the, you know, one of those internet deals, and you say, who is this guy? Does he really know what he's talking about? Well, kind of. You know, I've been in the car business for 43 years. I've owned 5 new car dealerships. All are part of 5 new car dealerships. I am currently a new car dealer in Greenville, Tennessee. I own a Ford dealership and a Nissan dealership and a used car dealership, and I restore old cars, buy old cars, and in general have a lot of experience in every department. And if you have an issue with cars, then I've probably heard about it. And if you have had a hard time getting it resolved, I can probably lead you down the shortest path. I wish I could solve it for everybody. I just can't. There's not enough people who, want to provide the information, take the time or whatever. I just feel like if you have been into the shop like three or four times for the same problem and you're not getting a resolution, you need help. And you may not need a lawyer, but then again, you might. I can tell you, sometimes I can even call a local dealership and help somebody. I do. I know all these dealers. I know everybody that owns a dealership in East Tennessee, probably on a first name basis. And if you're having a problem, then I can help. And that's what I do with this radio show. This is my mission. This is outside of my dealership, although the commercials that you hear are for my dealerships. This radio show is a ministry for me. And I know that may sound weird, but I think we are all called to help people with the gifts that we have and to be able to share those gifts with others. And that's what this is about. So my name is Lenny Lawson, and I am a real live new car dealer with a twist. I do tell it like it is, and you can reach me at my cell phone at 423-552-2020. And that's my only cell phone. Do not call the dealership if you want to talk to the guru. If you want to talk to the guru, dial the guru's number, 423-552-2020, and we'll see you tomorrow.